No response.
Left shoulder?
No.
Right shoulder? Left lung? Sternum?
Slight pickup.
Right lung? There it is.
That's it.
Measurable activity in the right lung.
They have found it. The atomic age, which had thundered in the summer of 1945, was rapidly growing up, and almost on tiptoe had brought a new era into the nation's hospitals.
Now, don't get so excited. We've located Johnny's cancer. That's fine. But before we start patting ourselves on the back, let's do something about it. How do we treat him?
Hold on to your seat. Listen.
Radioactive iodine proved to be not only a radar warning system to locate the cancer gangsters, but also a therapeutic weapon. On December 29th, Johnny received 112 millicuries of radioactive iodine in a glass of water. Before we were able to administer this large dose of radioactive iodine, the first thing that we did was to remove Johnny's normal thyroid. After removing his normal thyroid gland, we observed that the tumor cells in the lung were capable of picking up more radioactive iodine than they demonstrated before removing the normal thyroid.
The iodine went right to the thyroid cancer, and then the tiny X-ray machines in the form of radioactive iodine went to work. Rays equal to that of a million-volt X-ray machine lashed out at the cancer from a distance of only a millionth of an inch, thus not injuring any other vital cells or organs of the body.
X-rays to date have shown gradual disappearance of the thyroid cancer as localized in Johnny's lung. However, he still has disease capable of aggressive action, but certainly his case has been dramatically improved.
But I must warn you that radioactive iodine will not work with all cancers. Because of the thyroid's appetite and its affinity for iodine, we have had amazing luck in treating hyperthyroid cases, as have many other similar institutions throughout the country.
Massachusetts General Hospital received the full inventory of isotopes, had good luck with all of them, but really hit the jackpot with radioactive phosphorus.
We take you now to the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston.
My name is Dr. William H. Sweet, neurosurgeon, Massachusetts General Hospital, Boston. My associates, Drs. Bertram Silverstone, Arthur Solomon, Charles Robinson of the Harvard Medical School, and I have found that brain cancers have an appetite for radioactive isotopes. One of our earliest examples was a 40-year-old man who came to us complaining of severe headaches, nausea, blurred vision. His preliminary studies indicated a tumor in the cerebellar region of the brain, the back part of the brain. But X-rays told us nothing. We operated. The cerebellum appeared perfectly normal. No sign of any tumor. There was nothing we could do but send the man home again. Soon he was back. His symptoms of brain tumor were worse. We had to find it, and so we turned to atomic energy. Into the veins, we injected radioactive atoms of phosphorus that we had gotten from the atomic pile at Oak Ridge, Tennessee. We waited a day, then operated again. The brain absorbs phosphates very slowly, and the normal brain would show very little radioactivity from the phosphorus isotopes. We knew they would concentrate at the tumor. All we had to find out was where. So we used a needle-like Geiger counter developed by Dr. Robinson with which to probe, one that would pick up the radiation of the isotopes. Slowly, Dr. Silverstone moved the needle in the exposed brain. At first, our Geiger counter showed only a normal pickup. He moved it in the right lobe of the cerebellum, normal. Then in the left, normal. Then to the central lobe, the vermis. Suddenly, the count increased. At a depth of 2 centimeters in the brain, the count rate jumped from a slow, irregular series of clicks to a machine gun-like chatter. We'd found it. A brain tumor that almost certainly would have meant death to the patient. Slowly, with the needle counter showing us where, we cut away the tumor. In a matter of days, the patient was out of bed. Headaches gone, vision cleared. Today, he's back at his job.
That's the most exciting story I ever heard, Bill. And that man is actually alive and well now?
He's back at work and completely normal. The files of Massachusetts General Hospital show that more than 100 such brain tumors have been removed through the use of phosphorus and that needle.
And many other hospitals throughout America have been equally successful with radioactive elements. Listen to this report from the far-flung medical fronts in the actual voices of some of the scientists who are sending this new weapon into combat. First, we take you to Washington University in St. Louis.
This is Dr. Hugh Wilson. Another disease which is being attacked by atomic energy is cancer of the lower end of the uterus. This dread disease gives few symptoms and spreads early through the lymph channel to nearby structures. Some radioactive agent is needed, which will follow the lymph channel and destroy the spreading tumor cells. Fortunately, radioactive colloidal gold seems to do just that.
The common name for leukemia is cancer of the blood. For a report on this, we take you to the University of California at Los Angeles.
This is Dr. B.M. Brundage from the University of California at Los Angeles. The University of California has been using the radioactive form of the element phosphorus to treat symptoms of various blood diseases, including leukemia, anemias, and certain conditions in which there are overproduction of the red cells of the blood. Such treatment has often helped prolong the life of these patients.
Two of nature's tragedies are the Cretan and the Mongolian idiot. But recent discoveries in Detroit are making it possible for one of them, the Cretan, to develop into a normal, healthy person. For that story, we take you to Harper Hospital in Detroit and Dr. Henrietta Hayden.
With radioactive iodine, we have been able to diagnose cretinism in children. Cretinism is a condition in which a baby is born without any thyroid gland, and the disease can be detected as early as 2 or 3 weeks after birth. And then the treatment has begun and continued for some long period, perhaps through the life. But the child is enabled to develop normally and proceed in normal functions all through his life.
In Pennsylvania, a special kind of heart disease. Come in, Philadelphia.
My name is Dr. Charles C. Wolford. We have been using radioactive iodine, and we find it has been extremely valuable in the treatment of thyroid disease and heart disease. These include patients with severe heart failure, angina pectoris, or extremely rapid heart action that could not be satisfactorily controlled by standard methods of treatment.
And Bill, all this wonderful work comes from the same uranium piles that make atomic bombs?
The same pile. And actually, these are just byproducts. And that's only the beginning. Still greater strides are being carried on by studying the effects of radiation on bomb victims.
Then, Bill, the very rays that killed at Hiroshima may someday save lives.
It's already taking place.
Judge Brown, Sloan Kettering, we have a grant from the AEC. We know that radiation kills and that the children of radiation victims may be affected by it. Why? Some change has been produced within the cells. Some basic change in the stuff which controls hereditary characteristics. Such things as why children look like their parents. What we're hoping is that the use of the nucleus of the atom may give us the key to the nucleus of the human cell.
Wow, what a story. But so far, this is all medicine. Have there been strides in other fields?
This is Dr. Nathan H. Woodruff, and I am Assistant Chief of the Atomic Energy Commission's Isotopes Division. In agriculture, radioisotopes have been used to determine the effectiveness of fertilizer in growing various kinds of crops. In industry, radioisotopes have been used in a variety of investigations, ranging from measuring the amount of ink on a newspaper to measuring the amount of steel worn from piston rings while running in an automobile engine.
Our scientists are studying plant life to try to learn how plants turn sunlight into food. When we learn that secret, perhaps we can learn to make food so all the world will have enough food and some to spare. But it is in the fight against disease that atomic energy has so far made its greatest stride. And here is the most amazing fact I know.
We at Oak Ridge have made more than 12,000 deliveries of isotopes. The lead-lined boxes that we have used to ship them in weighed a total of more than 1 million pounds. but the total weight of the radioactive material is slightly under 2 ounces.
Think of that. 1 million pounds to ship 2 ounces. That cosmic bank, as you call it. It's really beginning to pay off, then.
With atomic energy, we have at our disposal the greatest source of power ever known. We can turn deserts into blooming gardens. We can air condition the jungles and make the Arctic wastes livable. We can thus stretch the surface of the earth and give more living space for more human beings. And we can leg disease.
Cancer, undefeated, unconquerable, it certainly needn't be. Not always.
Bill, there is so much that we can do with all the wealth hidden in the nucleus of the atom. So much other than destruction. If
only we can keep the world from blowing itself up.
We are here to make a choice between the quick and the dead.
Radioactive poisoning of the atmosphere, and hence annihilation of any life on Earth, has been brought within the range of technical possibilities.
God, the Father of us all, did not make man in his image and endow him with capacity to learn nature's secrets in order that man use that knowledge to destroy the human race.
We look forward to a world founded upon freedom from fear.
We are here to make a choice between the quick and the dead. That is our business.
You have just heard the fourth and final chapter of The Quick and the Dead, the document for EAR on atomic energy, produced and transcribed by the NBC Newsroom. These programs have been written and directed by Fred Friendly, supervision William...